On Sunday, January 7th at 11 p.m., Sugar in My Bowl presents what the New York Times calls a complete artist, improvising vocalist, composer, lyricist, and educator, Faye Victor. Join us as we prepare for Faye Victor's appearance as part of this year's Winter Jazz Festival. That's Sunday, January 7th at 11 p.m., right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web.
I want a little sugar in my bowl. I want a little sweetness down in my soul. I could stand some loving, oh, so bad.
You're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Sugar in My Bowl is the name of this program. My name's Joyce Jones. This is the last program that focuses on the Winter Jazz Festival, and our guest for this evening is improvising vocalist, composer, lyricist, and educator, Faye Victor. We're going to open up the program with a recording by the now late trombonist Roswell Rudd. Faye Victor recorded with him from Roswell Rudd's latest release, Embrace. Can't We Be Friends is the name of this selection. Stay tuned. We also have a ticket giveaway for two featured events of the Winter Jazz Festival. We have two pairs of tickets each for Faye Victor will be with Nicole Mitchell's Afrofuturist Mandalora Awakening 2 Emerging Worlds with drummer Tyshawn Sori will open with a solo percussion set on Tuesday, January 16th. We're also offering two pairs of tickets for the Deerhoff meets Wadado Leo Smith on Wednesday, January 17th. Both programs are at La Poisson Rouge, 158 Bleecker Street. Both programs start at 8 p.m. You can call 347-771-8656. That's 347-771-8656 while the program is on the air. That's 347-771-8656. Stay tuned. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Sugar in My Bowl, starting now.
I want some sugar in my bowl. I thought I found a man of my dreams. Now it seems this is how the story ends. He's gonna turn me down and say, can't we be friends? I thought for once I couldn't go wrong. Not for long, I can see the way this ends. He's gonna turn me down and say, can't we be friends? Never again through with love, through with men. They play their game without shame, and who's to blame? Uh-oh. I thought I found a man I could trust. What I must, and this is how my story ends. He's gonna turn me down and say, can't we be friends? Thank you. dreams. Now it seems this is how the story ends. He's gonna turn me down and say, can't we be friends? I thought for once I couldn't go wrong. Not for long. This is how my story ends. He's gonna turn me down and say, can't we be friends? With men they play their game without shame, and who's to blame? Ha! I thought I found a man I could trust. What I must, this is how my story ends. He's gonna turn me down and say, can't we be friends?
My name's Joyce Jones, and I'm on the line with
Faye Victor.
Faye Victor, thank you so much for joining Sugar in My Bowl. I appreciate you doing this with us.
Thank you so much for asking me to do this. I really appreciate it. I've been a fan of your show for a long time, and it's an honor to be asked, so thank you.
Congratulations on being included in the Winter Jazz Festival. Was this your first time?
Well, thank you. This will be my first time.
Yeah. How did that happen?
Well, you know, it's really funny. I'm actually going to be in the Winter Jazz Festival 3 times.
Oh!
Yeah, 1 time with my own group, which I'll get to in a second. And the other 2 appearances will be one with Nicole Mitchell,
yes,
who is the artist in residence for the festival this year.
Yes.
I'm part of her Maroon Cloud project. And we're going to be appearing, opening up for Deerhoof on January 17th. And I'm also appearing with Darius Jones' Law No Order piece on January 13th. So this is my very first time appearing on the Winter Jazz Fest, and I'm actually appearing 3 times.
Well, you know, they tend to, with Winter Jazz Fest, if you have 1 appearance, they almost seem,
yes,
to look for other groups that you're involved with, so you can do them practically on the same night, so you can make it to the other locations, or they're near each other, the locations that you're doing. But congratulations.
Yeah.
Really? Wow. Yay.
And, you know,
I knew about the Nicole Mitchell one, and I forgot about that, but yay.
Yeah.
Maroon Cloud.
Down again. Jimmy turned to Mo and said, Joe's car broke down again, 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 again. The tranny has seen better days. Treat your car like your woman. Ain't that what Joe always says? Always says, yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, oh,
Is that your ensemble?
No, it's not the Favorite Ensemble. It's a new group. It's called Sound Noise Funk. And Winter Jazz Fest reached out to me and asked me to bring in a group. And I thought about what would be the best group that represents what I'm doing and thinking about right now. And as it turns out, Sound Noise Funk has a record coming out on ESP Disc in 2018 that we recorded last August 4th, actually, of 2017. And I'm really excited. It started as a Sound Noise trio with Reggie Nicholson on drums and Sam Newsom, soprano saxophone.
Yes.
And that got started in 2015. And in 2016, Patricia invited us to perform at the Vision Fest, and I added Melvin Gibbs.
Yes.
Calling it the Sound Noise Quartet, which was, I thought, really fun and a strong display of what we could do.
Oh, yeah.
And
I was there, so I enjoyed that one. That was really nice.
I love that group. And it's all free improvised, which is pretty awesome. And then really something interesting happened. This last Vision Festival, we didn't get a spot on the actual festival, which I think is fair. We had a nice spot the year before, but Patricia offered me a spot as part of the After Hours series, and I kind of wanted to mix it up, so I've been doing a bit of work with guitarist Joe Morris, who I think is amazing, an incredible musician, and just incredible spirit and energy and everything else. And I had an idea to combine Joe and Reggie, just the three of us, and that was a really cool concert as well. And it so happened that the guy that runs the SP Disc was there, and he said on the spot, he goes, "I'd like to record you."
No. Oh. Wow.
Yeah, for real. I was like, does this still even happen? And because, you know, fundamentally we started as a trio, I negotiated to have Sam on the record. And so, yeah, so we call that Sound Noise Funk. What I love about this project is even though it's a free improvisation and now I've added some text and a bit more sort of tangible components to the music, but what I really like about it is it's groove-based. It's sort of funky and groove, and I think you can move to it while being all the other great things we love about improvised music.
So at the Winter Jazz Festival, you're going to have with you Sam Newsom, Reggie Nicholson,
and Joe Morris.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's going to be the group that's going to be on the record will be at the festival.
Excellent. Now, my introduction to you was definitely through the Vision Festival.
Yes.
And you were hosting, and you were singing, and you were doing your thing. And then I saw you at, I guess it was something of a salon with Amiri
mm-hmm.
Baraka. It was like this little space. Little, I forgot where it was. I think it was in Harlem. It was this little space. And it was you and
Reggie.
It was
actually on 14th Street. There was this, I think there was a theater group through Neoka Workman.
Yes.
I think one of her friends or colleagues, she organized. Actually, this was the first time I also worked with Reggie Nicholson, funnily enough. That was the very first time we worked together. Yeah.
Wow.
He called me for that, which I thought was such an honor. So that's interesting that you remember that. I'll let you continue also.
No. As a matter of fact, I was just setting it up for you to talk about that and how it came about and what it was like working with Amiri. Had you already worked with him before?
No. And sometimes now I can actually say I get really lucky sometimes. I don't know why Reggie thought to do this. And it wasn't until very recently we talked about it again, and he kind of said to me that he wanted to do something with Amiri, and he called him up, and Amiri said yes, but he was a little nervous himself, so he wanted to have another foil. and that's why he asked me, which I thought was like, well, you know, it's an honor. He could have asked, you know, a lot of people to be the foil to Amiri Baraka. So it's one of those things that just sort of happened, and I was so nervous because I had seen Amiri perform, and obviously I know his work, and actually Blues People, of course, when he was Leroy Jones, was one of the seminal books for me as a jazz musician. I mean, it sort of really, not only was it a great book, but it also really informed a lot of how I saw the music and how I saw myself within the music. So it was incredible to be able to stand on the stage beside him. And then that he dug it, like he really did. Because after that, I saw him a few times, you know, either at Vision Festival, different events, and he always came up and he always talked to me. And he kept saying to me, he goes, you know, you were really very, very good. And that just meant a lot, you know. He didn't have to say that. And he just never forgot. So even though it was a one-off kind of thing, but yeah.
That was wonderful. And I was able to hear you more and what you were capable of doing.
So close your eyes, for what a lovely way to be. Whenever two can dream a dream, together. You can't deny. Don't try and fight the rising sea. Don't buy the moon, the stars above, and don't fight me. The thought of the old loneliness goes whenever two can dream a dream together. When I saw you first, the time was half past three. When your lips met mine, it was eternity. By now, on its way to be just catch the wave, don't be afraid of loving me. The fundamental loneliness goes whenever two can dream a dream together.
Bong, 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 bong.
Now, I noticed in preparing to discuss with you that a couple of your inspirations, which I can hear, are Betty Carter, Sarah Vaughan, and Carmen McRae, most definitely.
Yeah.
So what was your introduction to these ladies? How did you wind up discovering them?
Well, you know, I really started singing as a real fluke. And when I came into this music, one of the first singers that I sort of got introduced to and was sort of passionate about for a long time was Ella Fitzgerald. And I sort of had this weird thing that I sort of chronologically made my way through the canon. I started with Ella and Lily, kind of then moved my way through Sarah and up to Carmen and then to Abby and to Betty. And this kind of was like the sort of line of who I was sort of was obsessed with and then opened up other doors to the next. It kind of went like that for me. And I think what really resonated with somebody like us, Sarah and Carmen and Betty, is that they had these really distinct instruments. I mean, not that Ella didn't, and the way around phrasing, and certainly for Carmen and Sarah were also accomplished pianists. Mm-hmm. So they really knew the music. They really knew music. They really understood harmony, and you can hear that in their singing. And Betty, also an accomplished musician. So I found myself being more and more attracted to those vocalists that went beyond just singing a song. Yeah, and to me, Ella does that too. But certainly for a long period of time, I will honestly say, I mean, I love Ella. And in the last, I would say, 10 years or so, I've have a sort of renewed love of her, and I listen to her a lot more. But there was a period when, yes, I was much more attracted to, yeah, Sarah or Carmen and Betty for sure. Yeah.
Ella Fitzgerald, most people had referred to her, oh, she's fabulous, wonderful, but she was also a straight singer, quote unquote. And she has made songs her own in her styling. But as you were saying, Carmen McRae and Betty Carter and Sarah Vaughan, they had truly, unusually different voicings and vocal styles. So I could see that.
Yeah. And to me, when I started in this music, and the thing that attracted me to jazz and the thing that I still find really important about jazz, even though jazz has changed, is that your individual sound and your individual style. And when you hear 10 seconds, you know it's Carmen McRae.
Right.
You know it's Betty. You know, with instrumentals, you know it's Monk. You know it's Miles. And that's something that I think is really amazing about jazz, that you can have this music where it's community because everybody's maybe playing off of the same material, but yet you're allowed to find your own individual sound and way and rhythm and time and approach within that. It's really inspiring. So for me, the more someone delves into that about themselves, the more attractive them I tend to be.
Country, I beg you to leave me. I'm going back to my country. I'm tired with London. I can't hear the steel band beating in John John. I'm getting homesick. I'm feeling sad. I want my passage and I'm going back to Trinidad. I beg you to leave me, Nora. I'm going back to my country. I beg you to leave me. Going back to my country. I'm tired with London. I can't hear the steel band beating in John John. I'm getting homesick. I'm feeling sad. I want my passage and I'm going back to Trinidad. I want my passage and I'm going back to Trinidad. I want my passage and I'm going back to Trinidad. I want my package and I'm going back to Trinidad. I'm going back. 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 I'm going. I'm going. I'm going back. I want my passage and I'm going back to Trinidad. I'm
go 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 go
I'm going to go way back to your beginnings as Little Faye. I understand, I understand that you are Trinidadian and Tobago native.
Well,
but you were raised in
Long
Island.
Yes and no. Well, I was actually born in New York.
Okay.
But my mom, yeah, was from Trinidad.
Uh-huh.
And my father grew up in Trinidad, but actually he was from Grenada.
Okay.
And I was actually, I'm pretty sure I was the first of my family, and I mean also means extended family, born in the U.S.
Oh, okay.
But I also spent a lot of time in Trinidad as a kid, so there's also like a physical connection until I was in my early teens. Yeah, but I grew up here, and I grew up on Long Island, yeah.
Did you have a musical connection? Were you able to cull anything from having spent time over there?
Well, I don't know if you know this, but like in about 2011, I did a project with Other Dimensions in Music called Caíso Story.
Oh.
And that was a sort of calypso meets free jazz project. It was sort of pretty much my project, but because it was a free improvisation, so we didn't actually do tunes. But what I did do was I improvised with specific lyrics of classic calypso songs. And it was a deep experience because what was really deep about it, when we were working on it and when we did the recording, that's why music is a trip. I heard sounds come out of myself in a Trinidadian dialect, and I heard sounds come out of myself that I had never heard before. I mean, literally, like, never. And when I, because it was not shocking in a bad way, but, like, super, super, very surprising, and I thought about it, I realized that because I had such a deep childhood connection, and all the music and sounds that I heard in that period, they were just in there, and there was no reason for it to come out until, it seems, until this project.
The young people, color crazy, wearing fat head and dashiki. They want to know more about India. Some want to go back to Africa. But I want them to start thinking and to stop this damn race searching. For although we are a black pigment, we culturally are different. Roti over in India, they don't know about curry and kuchala. They do not sell oysters by the koise or dance our type of hose. And Africans cannot beat a steel band. Most of them have never even seen a pan. Only you, the Trinidadian, know about the Obiama. That is right here. You go find your identity. Hey, 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 hey. So that is right here. You go find your identity. Hey, 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 hey. Right here you go find your identity. Hey, 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 hey. And when you go away from this country, well, once they know you are a Trinidadian, they will say, sing a caíso for me. Beat a pan, make a pilau, or roti. Cause you know what? We is we. We is we. Yeah!
You're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Sugar and My Bowl's the name of this program. Our featured guest for this evening is Faye Victor. Faye Victor will be participating in a couple of sets as part of this year's Winter Jazz Festival. What you're listening to in the background is We Trini from Other Dimensions in Music featuring Faye Victor, Kaiso Stories. This is a 2011 Silk Heart Records release. Daniel Carter on alto saxophone, tenor saxophone, soprano saxophone, flute, trumpet, and clarinet. William Parker on double bass, bass duduk, trombonium, and gimbri. The late Roy Campbell on trumpet, pocket trumpet, flugelhorn, flute, pipes, bells. Charles Downs, or Rashid Bakar, on drums, percussion, and Faye Victor, our guest for this evening, on vocals. Before that, we heard another selection from Other Dimensions in Music, featuring Faye Victor, Kaiso Stories, Kitsch Goes Home, and before that we heard Wave, Faye Victor, In My Own Room. That's from her 1999 Timeless Records release. Faye Victor's on vocal and Per Soto on guitar. Before that we heard Joe's Car from the Faye Victor Ensemble. This is from the Green Avenue Music 2009 release, The Free Song Suite. Faye Victor on vocals. She's also the composer. Andres Nilsson on electric guitar. Ken Filiano on bass and effects. Michael T.A. Thompson on drums. Before that, we heard, as mentioned, Can't We Be Friends from Roswell Rudd's Embrace. That's Roswell Rudd, Faye Victor, Lafayette Harris, and Ken Filiano. Roswell Rudd on trombone, Faye Victor on vocals, Ken Filiano on double bass, and Lafayette Harris on piano. This is a 2017 Rare Noise Records release. And before that, we opened our program with our theme from Nina Simone, I Want a Little Sugar in My Bowl. This is from a compilation, The Very Best of Nina Simone, Sugar in My Bowl, 1967-1972. It was originally recorded in 1967. This is a 1998 RCA BMG compilation. We're going to hear another selection from Kaiso Stories, John Gilman Wants Tobacco, right before we hear from our On the Bandstand segment with our associate producer, Hank Williams. Just as a reminder, we do have a ticket giveaway, and you can obtain a pair to two different events. You can find out more by calling 347-771-8656. There are two Winter Jazz Festival featured events. The number again is 347-771-8656. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web. Sugar in My Bowl continues.
So it was really fascinating to go back to your question about what was I listening? And one of the things that was around a lot, it wasn't in a conscious way, was a lot of music from India, because Trinidad has a pretty sizable Indian population, and there was a lot of Indian movies on TV, and you would just hear a lot of music. I couldn't define what specific region of India the music was coming from as a kid, but it was definitely in my ear. And so when this project, and just and a lot of other rhythms and a lot of other sounds that I don't hear every day here. And that came out, wow, even though it lay dormant for something like, I don't know, 30, maybe 35 years or something. Yeah. So that was pretty amazing to kind of like, what? So like how things just really never leave you.
Right.
And just for your audience, that's Roy Campbell, Daniel Carter, William Parker, and Charles Down, or as he used to be called, Rashid Bakar.
Drums, right. Excellent. Wow.
Yeah, on drums. So that's quite the group.
And Vision Regulars.
Yes.
John Gilman wants tobacco. His guitar wants string. He wants some money to buy some clothes to put on his naked skin. It ain't going to rain no more. It ain't going to rain no more. No matter what the old folks say, it ain't going to rain no more. When I'm up, and when I'm down, but when I'm only halfway up, I'm neither up nor down. John Gilman wants tobacco, his guitar wants string, he wants some money to buy some clothes to put on his naked skin. It ain't going to rain no more, it ain't going to rain no more. No matter what the old folks say, it ain't going to rain no more. When I'm up, and when I'm down. But when I'm only halfway up, I'm neither up nor down. John Gilman wants tobacco, his guitar wants string. He wants some money to buy some clothes to put on his naked skin. It ain't going to rain no more. It ain't going to rain no more. No matter what the old folks say, it ain't going to rain no more. When I'm up, and when I'm down. But when I'm only halfway up, I'm neither up nor down. John Gilman wants tobacco, his guitar wants string. He wants some money to buy some clothes to put on his naked skin.
Good evening, jazz fans. This is Hank Williams, and welcome to On the Bandstand for January 7th. This segment features aerial listings of Shook and My Bowl guests so you can see them live. This week's show is our final 2018 Winter Jazz Fest preview and focuses on vocalist Faye Victor. You have three opportunities to hear her at the Winter Jazz Fest. She'll be leading Sound Noise Funk on January 12th. She'll also be with Darius Jones's Law and Order on January 13th, and she'll be with Nicole Mitchell's Maroon Cloud on the 17th at Les Poissons Rouges. And as a reminder, we have tickets to give away to some of the standalone concerts at the Winter Jazz Fest. I'll give the number at the bottom of the segment with the rest of the Winter Jazz details, so get your pens or pencils ready to write the info down. But first, the rest of our listings. Percussionist Steve Kroon leads a sextet at Smoke on January 10th. Hammond B3 organ master Dr. Lonnie Smith leads a trio at the Jazz Standard from the 11th through the 14th. Pianist Vijay Iyer leads a sextet at Birdland from the 9th to the 13th. Saxophonist Billy Harper leads a quartet at Smoke from the 12th through the 14th. Vocalist Kurt Elling is at Birdland for an early set on the 14th. The Hypnotic Brass Ensemble is at the Blue Note from the 19th through the 21st. Vision Fest promoters Arts for Arts Justice's Compassion Festival of Avant-Garde Jazz, Dance, and Visual Art continues at the Lower East Side's Clemente Soto Vela Center through the 12th, with different sets almost nightly, and there are several of note this week. Bassist William Parker is there on the 8th with J.P. Carletti's trio. Saxophonist James Brandon Lewis has a duo with pianist Arwan Ortiz on the 9th. William Parker's Songs for a Free World composition with vocalist Faye Victor is there on the 10th. Pianist David Vireas is there on the 11th. and it all happens at the Clemente Soto Vela Center. We have a separate preview on our blog, and we've linked to the full schedule online. Finally, the Winter Jazz Fest returns from the 10th to the 14th. This year's artist in residence is flutist Nicole Mitchell, who will have several sets at the festival. Other highlights include panel discussion on sexism in jazz and a panel discussion on jazz protests with saxophonist Archie Shepp. And there's a special tribute concert to Alice Coltrane by her son, saxophonist Ravi Coltrane, on the 14th. And there are the usual marathon nights of music on the 12th and 13th. There are way too many former guests to list all of them here, but see our blog for our annual cheat sheet before the event and a review once it wraps up. So now, we go to our ticket giveaway for two different standalone concerts at the festival. Flutist Nicole Mitchell's Afrofuturist Mandorla Awakening 2 Emerging Worlds on Tuesday, January 16th, or Deerhoof meets Wadada Leo Smith on the 17th. Both are 8 p.m. sets at Les Poissons Rouges in Manhattan. And we have pairs of tickets for each show. Call us right now before the show ends at 347-771-8656. That's 347-771-8656. Again, that's a set with Nicole Mitchell on the 16th, or with a set with Wadada Leo Smith on the 17th. Call now at 347-771-8656, and good luck. That's all for this week. If you missed anything, full listings are on our blog. Go to sugarinmybowl.org and click the link for the blog, where you'll also find reviews, features, and jazz news. And sugar is spelled S-U-G-A. Playlists and audio from this and previous shows are also on the website. If you're on Twitter and Facebook, look for us there too, where we'd appreciate likes, tweets, and shares with your friends. You can help the station stay on the air by pledging whatever you can, and consider becoming a WBAI buddy with a monthly pledge. See the Support WBAI link on our website for details, and we're grateful for any help you can give the station. This is Hank Williams signing off. With our bi-weekly schedule, we're off the air next week, but we'll have updated event listings online and be back on January 21st. Either way you connect, we'll see you next time on the Bandstand.
On Thursday, January 11th, starting at 4 p.m. until 6 p.m., there will be a report to the listener from WBAI's General Manager, Bertil Reimers. Once again, on Thursday, January 11th, 4 p.m. until 6 p.m., there will be a report to the listener from WBAI's General Manager, Bertil Reimers.
The current administration in Washington has done so many horrible things to the air, water, wildlife, land use, energy use, and environmental justice that it will take two episodes of Ecologic to cover it. Tune in on Tuesday, January 2nd and 16th at 8 p.m. to hear environmental experts and activists discuss what the administration has done and what we can do about it. Right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org.
You're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM Pacifica Radio and online at WBAI.org.
The role of media in a democratic society should be to empower people to make decisions.
WBAI, speaking truth to power for over 50 years.
You have very few powerful media outlets that are actually doing the two things that I think are the most central aims of good journalism, which is to give voice to the voiceless and hold those in power accountable.
WBAI, your community alternative.
That's another thing, since we mentioned vision. How did you wind up in that community? Because that's exactly what it is.
Yes. Yeah, it is a community. Well, I started out of the jazz vocal tradition and loved it and envisioned myself, well, in that moment, sort of in a more purist way, trying to be part of that continuum in the way I understood it, where, you know, you have a rhythm section and maybe you add a brass or a wind instrument and you sing songs, maybe you scat, etc. But then I moved to Europe and I lived in Amsterdam for about 8 years. And that transformed the way I look at music and essentially just transformed my artistic voice for a lot of reasons. But what ended up happening was I began to want to incorporate other musics into what I was doing. I thought in trying to be a pure jazz vocalist, I wasn't honoring all the other music I loved in my life. And I thought that was not okay. So I wanted to kind of explore everything for a while and kind of see where my genuine voice was. And in doing that, I discovered that I loved improvisation and that I loved composition and improvisation, but I also loved the idea of free improvisation and I wanted to develop my voice. And when I moved back to New York in 2003, I made a conscious effort to deepen my own sense of improvisation, understanding of it, studying of it, and also how to use it in performance. And that led me to the Vision Fest, people.
Where there's plenty of free improvisation going on.
Yeah, so that led me there. And also, when I still think it was a pretty smart decision. When I left the Netherlands, I had recorded a live record to release here because I had no idea, since I had changed so much artistically, I had no idea where what I did would land when I moved back. So I released a record. It's called Lazy Old Sun, Live Life in the Lowlands, and discovered through the way the press went, and we did a radio campaign and everything. And the more downtown, avant-garde, outside the box leaning people, it seemed to resonate with more. So it just seemed like, okay, that seems to be the scene to work from. That also was a reason how I ended up there as well.
Never had a slidin' on an oily rag. The price is right up on the tag. I'll put it in a brand new bag. This thing will let you be yourself and won't offend nobody else. Nothing like you ever saw, and it's not against the law. Why don't you check out your mind? Been with you all the time. Why don't you check out your mind? Been with you all the time. Let me see you check it. Check it. Check out your mind. Check it. Check out your mind. People thinking they've been took, but finding out they're overlooked. Forgot they had a mind to think. Why don't you check out your mind? Been with you all the time. Why don't you check out your mind? Been with you all the time. Let me see it. Check it. Check it. What you see me do, I'm doing me for all I'm worth. None do me better on this earth. Why don't you check out your mind? Been with you all the time. Why don't you check out your mind? Been with you all the time.
Thank you.
take out your mind. Been with you all the time. Well, let me see it. Check it. Check it. Check out your mind. Check it. Check out your mind. Trusting me and I and you. No matter what you see me do. I'm doing me for all I'm worth. Don't do me better on this earth. Why don't you check out your mind? Been with you all the time. Why don't you check out your mind? Been with you all the time. Well, let me see you check it. Check it. Check out your mind. Check it. Check out your mind.
Actually, in discussing your releases,
yeah.
In My Own Room, is that your first recording as a leader? Is that your first release? It was in 1999?
Yeah, well, technically, it's not.
Oh.
I kind of say it is. I had a record, my very first sort of jazz record is a record called Should We Do This Again? And it was a record kind of made on the fly in Austria in the mid-90s. I was working with some musicians, a trio, and at the end, they wanted to do a record, and they agreed to pay for everything, and I thought, well, why the hell not, kind of thing. So it was a project, it was okay, but I had no ownership in it. I picked the songs, kind of, so I don't really mention it because it doesn't feel like my record.
Mm-hmm.
In My Own Room, it really is my, I produced it, I really figured out the repertoire, I hired musicians, I thought about how the songs would go, blah, 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 blah. So
right.
I really feel like that's the start of them being my records.
I love you anyhow, but this is much too much to bear. You don't believe in me, sometimes you disappear. And when I think you're near, you are so far away, far away, far away. Tell me please, what is it I can do? I have my hopes, it's true. And if it's my mistake to love you, please don't take me wrong. You know I'm not that strong. Make up your mind, do please. I cannot live like this. Now is your turn to show me. You also have some feelings, some feelings. All I want is just a chance to love you. And then you'll see me flying so high up in the sky. So be what you are, but please let me believe you are mine. And then you'll see me flying so high up in the sky. So be what you are, but please let me believe you are mine.
Yeah.
Got it. Now, actually, the first record that I was aware of, and it was because of Vijay Iyer being your pianist on that record, that was Darker Than Blue. That was probably your second release on Timeless Records.
Right.
I like that one. There was one that we played for Vijay's program. It was one of your compositions. Sometimes.
Yes.
That's a fun one. I like that.
Thank you.
I want to find out about that, but I also, in general, wanted to find out about when you started being a composer. What led you to wanting to write your own music?
Well, I'm going to share something with you because I literally just thought about it yesterday. I've been writing songs since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And the very first time I had a song performed, I was about 10 years old on Long Island. We had just moved out there and I was in music class and I had written this song and the music teacher, you know, white guy, a Long Island guy, he really loved the song. And he said, you know what? I'm going to score it and why don't we let the school assembly sing it?
Wow.
Yeah. So for whatever it's worth, I thought about it recently because I was thinking about like things that are really sort of clarifying moments. And I realized that that was a clarifying moment. It was a moment where a complete stranger who basically had nothing to gain by doing this decided to do this. And it was successful. You know, it was like we did it for school assembly and, you know, where there were all the parents and everything there and people loved the song. And so from the very, I think that was like the second song I wrote or something ever. And so I had this sense of validation. Even up until my teenage years, I would write songs, and then I stopped. I'm not really sure why, but when I got into jazz again, and I didn't start becoming a jazz singer until I was in my early 20s. When I got into the music and started to develop the Great American Songbook, that was great for a while, but after a while, and this is also another silent as to why I didn't want to be just a straight-head jazz vocalist, because I found a lot of the lyrics problematic. They weren't really speaking for me.
Right.
And then I remembered, I was like, well, you know, I can write lyrics. So what I started to do was write lyrics to jazz compositions. Like I wrote lyrics to St. Thomas, I wrote lyrics to Wayne Shorter's Speak No Evil. You know, I started writing because that was another way that was beginning to spam my voice. And when I got together with my husband, Jochem van Dijk, we started developing and work talking and just being busy with a lot of music just as a couple and just for enjoyment and whatever. And we discovered we had an affinity to write together. He's actually a great songwriter in his own right. And those compositions that you heard on Darker Than Blue, that was us writing together. And then that blossomed into the Faye Victor Ensemble when we moved back to New York. Yes, I've been writing a long time. And I feel like I have a teaching practice and I teach a lot and I say this to my students and I try to say to myself that, and it's really like kind of what Nina Simone said too, we have to relate to the times you're living in.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's something I have to do. I feel compelled to do it. I feel compelled to tell my story about my life now for hopefully they're universal, hopefully they apply to people other than myself. Like that song sometimes to me, that's a song about stress. That's a song about just dealing with living life with stress and how troublesome that can be, you know?
Right.
I wanna put my life on hold and disappear into a welcoming sunset trouble. The face of the earth, hide in a place where no one can find me away. The pain of living, living a life that seems to pass me by. Seems anything can be done right now. If I can do it, somebody else somehow. Struggle to keep it together. Tired thinking about being stressed out. I
trivial things that take up meaningful hours in my day. Problems and bills to pay. Information overload, and my brain's about to explode. My head tries to stay above water, and I'm tired.
And I don't hear that in jazz lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so,
well, maybe in blues so that's, lyrics, so that's, though.
Yeah, blues, oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. You hear that in blues.
Right.
Yeah. So you hear the blues of the truth.
You're right. So you mentioned Yachem. Am I saying it right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, not well. Listen, it took me a year. Don't say that.
Yeah. And I'm not even married to him, so woo, yay me.
We would have come up with some sort of code word. I think it would have worked out.
So he played with you. My introducing you to the Shugan Bible audience was actually courtesy of a song that Yachem joined you on. It was just something you
right.
recorded. You want to talk about what was that?
That was Jazz Woman.
Jazz
yes.
Woman Me.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Let's talk
That's
about
right.
that
That's
one.
Right.
Actually, before you get into it, I just wanted to also say that I'm aware that Bryce Rosenblum made a conscious effort
yes.
of wanting to include more women in the festival this
yes.
year as leaders. So,
yes.
Jazz Woman Me. Let's talk about it.
Well, you know, there was, this is really timely. I didn't know this would come up, but I wrote a piece called Jazz Woman Me about myself being a woman within this music. And that was sort of a reaction to an interview that Ethan Iverson had with Robert Glasper. That the interview in and of itself wasn't, I mean, there were some things about it that were a little uncomfortable, but what I really had a problem with was Ethan's reaction to some pushback he got from the interview. And a lot of the pushback too was about, and I didn't like some of the pushback because I felt some of it was basically saying that they shouldn't say what they said, and I feel like they should say what they said because now we have this conversation.
Right.
So, you know, so the actual interview in and of itself wasn't the problem. It was more when people had something to say, it seemed to be a problem to really discuss it. And I wanted to make my own statement about it because I have to honestly say I've never let the fact that I was a woman get in the way of me trying to get wherever I was trying to get with my music as a jazz musician. In other words, if I wanted to reach out to a musician to work with, I never like thought for a second, oh my God, maybe I shouldn't because I'm a woman, or that kind of just never entered my mind. I just always felt like as long as I did my work, I have as much right to be at the table as anybody else.
Right.
That's simply how I feel about it. You know, but you have to do your work now, because you think you might get called out, and that's fair. So, and then the really amazing thing is throughout being in this music and getting to know people and making connections with people and working with people, the fact that I was a woman never got in the way with them either. Even the Vision Festival, just to be honest for a second, when I first started doing stuff there, I would say they had a little bit of an issue of not representing women enough.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Which I think has changed tremendously. But I also made a conscious, like when I realized that's the scene I wanted to be part of, I made a conscious effort to make sure I was part of that scene, also as a performer. And, you know, it took a while because it just does take a while. You got to pay your dues.
Exactly.
But once people saw what I could do and they appreciated it, then the discussion was over about any of that other stuff. And I want to give a real shout out to Roy Campbell,
mm-hmm.
you know, because just for a hot second, because
sure.
I know for in some circles he has an interesting reputation. And I want to say he was one of my most ardent supporters mm-hmm. of me being involved with, you know, just being seen as an equal, even in the project with Other Dimensions in Music, he really respect, you know, he treated me like that. And I know from other people that he talked about it. So I just want to give him a shout out. He was just serious about music.
This is the late trumpeter,
the
Roy
late
Campbell.
Trumpeter.
He was very omnipresent in the vision yeah. community and just in free music in general.
Yeah, no, I just want to say that he really cared about music. And I've discovered that when I'm interacting with people that really care about music, the fact that I or anyone else is a woman, they don't care about that. It's like a non-starter. And that's really been my experience. And I've been in this music now like 25 years. And
yes.
here and there, there'll be, but the mass majority of the time, I've been welcomed. But it's also, I think, important for us, for women or people that feel marginalized, to just always feel like you're just as valid at sitting at the table as anybody else.
Right.
Jazz woman, me. To be a woman in jazz when you want to be more or other than a standard singer or a pianist. To be a woman in jazz and not constantly define yourself as such. To be a woman in jazz with creative concepts that are accepted. To be a woman in jazz and be met on the bandstand as an equal is a rare deal. To be a woman in jazz is to live among men that demand you pass their bar of entry. Not all, but many. To be a woman in jazz as a vocalist of original and creative music is to be given the gaze of suspicion from black and white male musicians. If I hear anyone ask me to sing pretty one more time. To be a woman in jazz with a mind of your own is problematic. Our point of view isn't as valued unless it's seen as female. How many women band leaders lead festivals? How many female band leaders end up in critics' polls? Jazz history reveals beneath the surface the place of women. Applause, applause for those that don't rock the philosophical boat, and quiet for those who do. It took vocalist, composer, band leader Betty Carter over 30 years to garner mainstream jazz acceptance, and no one could argue her chops. No one could argue her chops if she didn't take her career into her own hands. We may have still been listening to her sighs with Ray Charles. If Betty Carter was male with a trumpet making them same sounds, this is real. Jazz can feel like men want it all to themselves, an intellectual club that women aren't privy to. We can't handle it. I've always said, no way. Many other women have said the same. But I can't ignore the isolation I sometimes feel when my work is seen as less than. I hear what's out there and I know it's not. I've worked hard to develop my own voice. I've done my jazz work deeply. I sound like no one else. Being a vocalist is an asset as an improviser. I can make my message as direct or as abstract as I want it to be. That is power. I knew this was a hard road. A woman, non-instrumentalist, composing original music for my voice with improvising at the core. Because I love the freedom to take long solos as much as I love hearing them. To be a woman in jazz is to question yourself. Difficult to find mentors. I've never had a vocal mentor, but I'm extremely fortunate. I had two important pianists take me very seriously. The great Misha Mengelberg was one of them, the great Curtis Clark the other. They both in their way informed me to ignore the haters and keep working toward my voice. There's something important there. They both value the voice as an important instrument in and of itself that was vital to this music. These are the beautiful exceptions in my world. To be a woman in jazz is to be as strong as granite. To be a fighter, an orator, a storyteller, a misogynist smeller, a defender of your right to be right there, going to battle with attitudes that won't budge. Doors slammed shut. To be a woman in jazz is to know the sensual and intellectual rigor of this music and know there is no need for mutual exclusivity. To be a woman in jazz is a spiritual and creative experience like no other, because all the fights and challenges make us stronger, entrench us deeper in the reasons we are here. So when we get on stage, it's clear. We aim to kill because we know we can.
The thing that I guess that bugged me about the conversation that took place between Ethan Iverson and Robert Glasper was actually from Glasper. It was a comment that he made about women and solos. He made this comment that women didn't like to listen to solo. It's like, excuse me? It's like, are you kidding? Yeah. As though our little brains couldn't, you know, comprehend the concept of a solo. I was like, wait a minute. I don't know where you go or what women you know, but I like a good solo. I mean, they're speaking their voice. They're telling their story, as Art Blakey would say. But anyway.
Yeah, no, it was really problematic.
So
I wanted to write that piece to kind of just make a statement about what it is when you are just busy just trying to get your work out. Okay, I guess we all want to be accepted. I'll just say this really straight out. We all want to be accepted, and I'm no different, but I'm not willing to compromise myself, though, to be accepted. So if I feel if I'm coming correctly or coming well-skilled or whatever to do whatever it is we're getting ready to do, then I feel I should be respected on that. And that's what that piece was basically saying, that without wanting to be coddled because I'm a woman, or without wanting any special treatment, or, you know, because that's the other side of it, too.
Right.
I don't want special treatment. I just want to be seen as an equal.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
As an equal, fortunately, and you have been, but there was one person in particular who recently recognized and wanted to include you on his recording, Roswell Rudd.
Yes.
Tell us about that collaboration. I mean, you can't get any better than, you know, Roswell Rudd. This is a jazz master.
No.
Come on now.
This is such an amazing thing. I don't even, it's really emotional. I've known Roswell now for, I guess it's like going on 9 years. And long story short, I met Roswell or started to contact Roswell because of my mentor, Misha Mengelberg, also a European jazz master who left us earlier. And because of Herbie Nichols, I'm a huge fan. I have a Herbie Nichols project. Actually, I have a recording. I'm looking for label support to bring it out. And written lots of lyrics to his compositions and performed them. And I had done that a bit with Misha. And that was the connection to meet with Roswell. I met him at a concert. And after emailing him a bit, and we got together. And we started just playing just trombone and voice, mostly Nichols tunes and a couple of Monk tunes. And then just kind of developed a great relationship. And actually the first time we had a performance, believe it or not, was in 2009 on a residency of Tyshawn Suri at the Stone. And we did a trio, myself, Tyshawn, and Roswell. And then since then, we've just been gradually developing a nice musical rapport and friendship. And in 2013, I was on his Trombone for Lovers on one tune, Trouble in Mind, actually. And then we just been developing material, and then at a certain point, I think it was about maybe 2 years ago, him and his wife, Verna, said we would love it if this quartet, because we were getting together with Ken Filiano and Lafayette Harris, who have been working with Roswell for much longer than I've been, so why don't we make a record, which, okay. Yeah, okay. And then they actually got a label. And what was really amazing, because we had been gradually developing material in a super organic way, you know, we were getting together maybe once a month, every 2 months, over a period of maybe 3-4 years. So when we went to the studio, it was like nothing. It was like air, because all the work had been done already. We could just play and enjoy what was going on. So that was such a luxury process. I don't know if I could ever replicate it, but it was really amazing. Yeah, and I'm just amazed that Roswell values what I do as a vocalist and a musician to the point where, yeah, he wanted to do this. And yeah, that's how that came about.
Bye.
Wrapping up, I just wanted to hear you talk about vocal lessons that you've provided, probably still provide, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to share about that?
Yes, I do. I have a private teaching practice at my home studio here in Brooklyn, and I also teach at another studio in Manhattan. And I've also started giving creative improvisation workshops, which I'm about to launch some information about, one that will happen in March of 2018. Yeah, I teach vocal technique and also coaching. I would say my forte is helping vocalists to figure out their own voice, starting from the ground with good vocal technique to how to sound like yourself, related to music, related to whether you write your own music, etc. And it's going quite well. Always can use more students, but it's going well. And I love teaching. I think it's important. I know we say a lot that when we perform, we are healing and we are giving something back, and that is so true. But the beautiful thing I find about teaching is it's tangible. Whatever guidance that you, it's really tangible between you and the student, and that means a lot to kind of see people grow, and that I might have a small part in that, and to be able to assist that and to help people find their own voice. It's great.
Now, I know I said that was the last thing, but there was one thing, especially since Winter Jazz Fest has been focused on social justice. You have these talks that you do.
Yes, I do.
If you want to tell the audience about that and whether there's a scheduled one coming up.
It's called the Talk Race Forums, and I do it with a blogger, also curator, and history professor at Pratt, Cisco Bradley. Mm-hmm. We started it together. Actually, this month makes 3 years that we've been doing them. And it started as a platform to have uncomfortable conversations about race, and we essentially do it without dogma. So in other words, we don't get into conversations about political affiliations or where people stand in those. In that way, we talk from a place of experience and what people have experienced. And what we found is that tends to diffuse a lot of defensiveness, and it tends to make the conversation a bit more open and have people hear. When someone has experienced something, people tend to hear that better than when someone says, I'm on the side of this, or something else of that ilk. So, and it's been intense. And we've had some public forums as well. The last one we did was on the Vision Festival. Last year, we were invited to do a public forum. I have a Facebook page called the Talk Race Forum, if anyone would like to go there. We keep the list private because we want people to feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. So if anyone is interested in joining or becoming or coming part or learning more information, they can go to our Facebook page, the Talk Race Forum, and get in touch with us there, and we'll reach out.
Excellent.
Thank you for inviting me to talk.
Well, thank you so much, Faye Victor, for joining Sugar in My Bowl. Really appreciate you spending all of this time with us and sharing about and introducing more people to you. And hopefully people will come out to the Winter Jazz Festival and catch your varying installations. They have opportunities.
I like
to see
that. Thank you so much, Joyce. And keep on doing what you're doing, too, man. And I'm sure I will see you out and about very shortly.
No doubt.
You're listening to the closing moments of Sugar in My Bowl. My name is Joyce Jones. Our guest for this evening was improvising vocalist, composer, lyricist, and educator Faye Victor, who will be featured in three separate opportunities during this year's Winter Jazz Festival. What you're listening to in the background is Along the Winding Way from the Faye Victor Ensemble, Cartwheels Through the Cosmos. This is a 2007 Green Avenue Music release. Faye Victor on vocals, Anders Nielsen on electric guitar, Ken Filiano bass effects, Michael T.A. Thompson on drums. Before that, we heard Goodbye Pork Pie Hat from Roswell Rudd, Faye Victor, Lafayette Harris, and Ken Filiano. Roswell Rudd's release, Embrace, 2017 Rare Noise Records. Before that, we heard Trouble in Mind, featuring Faye Victor, Roswell Rudd's Trombone for Lovers. This is a 2013 Sunnyside Records release. Roswell Rudd on trombone, Faye Victor vocals, John Medeski, former Sugar guest, on Hammond B3 organ, Richard Hammond on contrabass and electric bass, Aaron Combs on drums. Before that, we heard Faye Victor's recording of Jazz Woman Me, recitation written by Faye Victor. You can go to FayeVictor.com for more information to find out more about that selection. It was written and recorded last year. Faye Victor is the poet and spoken word artist, and Joachim Van Dyke on bass. Before that, we heard Sometimes Faye Victor from her 2001 Timeless Records release, Darker Than Blue. Faye Victor on vocals, she's also the composer, Anton Goudsmit on electric guitar, Vijay Iyer on piano, John Herbert on bass, Steve Haas on drums. Before that, we heard Upside Down, Fleur de Lis, another selection from Faye Victor's 1999 Timeless Records release, In My Own Room, 1999 Timeless Records release. Faye Victor on vocals, she also wrote the English lyrics, and Per Soto on guitar. Before that, we heard Check Out Your Mind from the Faye Victor Ensemble from the 2004 Green Avenue Music release, Lazy Old Sun, Live Life in the Lowlands. Faye Victor on vocals, Anton Goudsmit on electric guitar, Walter Werbos on trombone, Jaco Schunderwood on bass, and Peter Bast on drums. And before that, we had our On the Bandstand segment with our associate producer, Hank Williams. Stay tuned, La Nueva Alternativa is scheduled next. Sugar in My Bowl is scheduled to return on January 21st. And hopefully we'll see you at this year's Winter Jazz Festival, starting from January 10th through January 17th. And also, do not forget, there is a Jerry Allen fundraiser. Our last program focused on the pianist, late great Jerry Allen. And there is a fundraiser for January 15th. As far as I can tell, there are still tickets. I got mine. Stay tuned. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web.
Hello, bueno, this is Sonia Sanchez. I urge you to give your generous support to listener-sponsored community radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York.